Hello, everyone. Welcome into another episode of Kentucky Daily, a daily podcast covering your University of Kentucky Wildcats. I'm Sean Smith. He's Derek Terry. And we're going to get you ready for kickoff versus Kentucky and Chattanooga on Saturday. But we also have quite a bit to talk about in this episode here, Derek. And I think it has to start at the top with Eddie Grant.
Yeah, Nick Roush from Kentucky Sports Radio yesterday afternoon with the scoop that Eddie Grant would be returning to Kentucky in an off-field role. I assume that that means he's going to be eventually working his way into what Dan Brezowitz did when he was the chief of staff. I'm not sure it'll be the exact same thing, just because Brezowitz, kind of his forte was recruiting and doing things like that. I'm not sure Grant's role will be quite as strenuous in that regard. But you hear Mark Stoops talk a lot about big picture guys when he's looking to hire people. I would say, without having yet known, and we're recording this early on Friday, it's not even 10 a.m. yet, we assume that UK will make that official and perhaps there will be some more details as to what exactly he'll be doing. But having someone who is as much of a professional as Eddie Grant, someone who has been in college football a very long time, I mean, coached 20 plus years at a high level, to have that person in your football facility helping out Mark Stoops, potentially, I would say, this developing into a potential kind of right-hand man kind of situation, I think is a very smart move. And hell, Sean, they're paying him $2.3 million anyway through the next few years. So if he wants to come back and work a little bit, maybe you feel like you're at least getting some more out of that buyout.
And you're getting a great human being
back
on your staff. I mean, there's no denying how good of a person Eddie Grant is. Never had any issues at Kentucky, never any issues anywhere. I'm a huge fan of this. I don't see – and I saw some mixed reactions yesterday and people going, why? Or, why do you want to do this? Or, oh God, like, he's not going to be calling plays. The Wildcat's not going to be coming back with him. That's not what — it's an off the field role specifically. It says that. So I just think it's something good. You got a guy that knows your program, knows what your program stands for, what it expects. The big thing to me is someone that Mark Stoops trusts. I think that's the other thing in this. I'm a huge fan of it. Look, Eddie Grant's a good football coach.
He is.
It's got to the point to where they needed to do something different with the offense. They needed to add a passing attack to it. But as far as overall development at the positions that he coached, he is a really good football coach. And I think it's someone that you want in your program who knows the league and knows the game of college football. You want that guy in your program. Those guys that are off the field, Derek, are pretty vital to what these programs do.
They are. I mean, it makes sense, I think, too, for Grant at this stage, which I had known that he was still living in Lexington. He never left. I don't know what his plans might have been before, this opportunity became available to him. But you're talking about a guy who's been in that grind from — started coaching the SEC, I think, in 1995. So a year after I was born. So that's a long — every year in and year out, that college football grind. And I would say, without having been around back then, I would guess, though, with how the internet has evolved, with how social media is, I would guess this job more than ever is a 24/7 job if you're a, on-field coach. So he's at a point in his life where he probably wanted to take a step back. Money's not going to be an issue for him because he's getting the buyout money. So, I mean, he's going to be making a great salary for the next 2 or 3 years. He's 56 years old, Sean. I don't know that he might be done coaching. Honestly, who knows? He might get into this administration stuff and like it. So I think it's just a logical move on his part to see, if he likes this side of college athletics. I mean, he's still going to be probably cutting up film. He's probably still going to have some administrative roles overseeing some things in the football program. But yeah, like I saw specifically regarding Nick's tweet, a lot of people who were like, this is so stupid. Why are they bringing it? Like, yeah, like you said, Eddie's not coming. He's not calling the play Saturday, whenever this thing happens. But you can never have too many good football people around, though. I mean, if anything happens, there's always going to be, right around bowl time, probably coaches looking for other jobs. I mean, if you have assistants that are very good, you expect that eventually they're going to leave. He's the kind of guy I think would be able to slide down. And I don't know exactly what the rules are, but I'm pretty sure if you don't have the full, staff, other guys, that are GAs or whatnot, can slide in and help. And I'm sure Eddie could could certainly be around to help on the offensive side of the ball. He's a special teams coordinator too at one point. So, I mean, having him around, I see no negatives to this. And I say that there are not, I don't think it's a negative because of how much of a professional he is. He's not going to come in and cause problems or cause tension with Liam Cohen there. And I think everyone is adult enough there to make this work.
Yeah. That's the other thing that stands out to me is there is going to be no issues from anyone on this. And I just think it's a really good move. And those of you that see it as a problem, I think you need to step back and look at it through a different lens here and see that, yeah, they couldn't throw the ball. They struggled to throw the ball. But the other things that Eddie Grant did during his time at UK were all positive to me. And that's a guy that you want in some yeah. role on your staff. And just a good human being, a mentor, you know, a guy that those players respected there. That's another thing. I mean, that in whatever role he's in, you can't get enough quality human beings on your staff, in my opinion, in today's yeah. world. When you're leaders of young men, guys like Eddie Grant are the perfect example of those people.
Yeah, I'm not trying to like sound condescending. I think for people who are just kind of casual fans, I'm not sure they understand how many people are in an operation like Kentucky football. I mean, there are tons and tons of people behind the scenes that make things work. And I would guess a lot of people just looked at the headline and thought, well, this is, you know, I guess they just assumed since he was the offensive coordinator, he wouldn't come back and just do something different. Like, I don't even know how much contact he'll have with like the, he's not going to be involved and he might cut up some tape and stuff and watch tape and get an idea for the opponents, but he's not going to have any say in the operation of what's being done on the game day on Saturday. So, I think what we've discussed is it's how I feel. I mean, he knows every player. I mean, every single player on that roster he is going to be familiar with. Maybe some of the transfers he might not know much about. But like you said, I think it's a really good point. Like, this is someone who understands. Like, Sean, hell, you make the argument, not just understands. He helped set the identity of Kentucky football. Mm-hmm. I mean, he knows it very well. So and you could tell that, I mean, Stoops had to make a tough decision to fire Grant. He can tell he didn't really want to do it, but he knew, and I think Eddie knew, you know, for things to be better, there needed to be a change. But for Eddie to have stuck around and for – I mean, this is not like 2 years past. Like, this is, what, 9 months,
yeah.
basically, and he's already back. So this is something I think that they both wanted, and I think it's a good story because – it would be easy to, you know, for Eddie to have had his feelings hurt and to be able to put that behind you, and Stoops to do the same, and for it not to be awkward or anything, I think says a lot about their relationship. And it's pretty encouraging, to be honest with you, that still exists.
Don't burn bridges.
Yeah.
It's exact reason why people tell you to never burn a bridge, because you just don't know what that opportunity is going to lead. I'm happy for Eddie. I really like Eddie as a person. I think he's great to have in your program. And I see this as a very positive move for Mark Stoops and Kentucky football, Derek. But there's not a ton to talk about with Kentucky and UT Chattanooga. I think everybody kind of really – we know where it is and stuff going into game week. The hope, I'm sure, for this staff would be by the time it gets to the third quarter, Bo Allen gets some reps. And you get some of these younger guys some snaps, which means Kentucky takes care of business in the first half. They don't turn the ball over. And they kind of push this thing out and they get healthy – and they stay healthy going into a road trip at South Carolina. I think that's the breakdown, right? Like, is there anything you want to add to that at all? Because I'm not looking for a lot. I'm just looking for to stay healthy
mm-hmm.
and that offense to kind of do what it's supposed to do in the first half and then let these younger guys. And honestly, to me, it's a game that you build depth in.
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit everything I would want to hit. The sooner you can take care of business in this game, the better. Because if you can get Bo Allen in the third quarter, get some of those backups in, it gives you, I think, a more true – like, I think you can still run a lot of your playbook then. If this game is kind of not really in the bag until the fourth quarter or midway through, you'll probably just see a bunch of runs, and they'll just get out of there. But, you know, like I mentioned to you – before we started this podcast, like, this, they've got, I think, six straight conference games after this. something like that. I mean, you're not going to have, I mean, maybe like against a Vanderbilt or something else unforeseen, perhaps they blow somebody else out that we're not expecting. I don't see many teams. I think they'll just blow out outside of Vandy, and you know, maybe a game could heavily go in their favor. Who knows? But you get what I'm trying to say. Like, this might be the last chance a lot of these guys get until the end of November to get some playing time. So, hell, I mean, obviously winning the game is the most important thing, but you would think, and I know UT Chattanooga is, you know, pretty well thought of for their conference. So I'm not saying this is going to be just a gimme pushover. I mean, who knows? This game last week, I mean, Stoops has said it two or three times. It took a lot out of the team. I would not be surprised at all if they start slow tomorrow. But their veteran team, UK, is you would hope that they can do what they need to do, take care of business, get those younger guys in, and move on. Sean, I guess the score prediction, I'll say something like 45-10. Well, it's what they won the first game by, isn't it?
Yeah. I was going to say 45-3. So not too far off. We're right around that range.
You always got to count in when the backups get in there that things might get a little sloppy.
That's true. And MVP, I think it'll be hard to pick, honestly, but I'll go Chris Rodriguez again. I think Rodriguez will have another – I think he'll have a big first half.
Yeah, you're right. MVPs are harder to pick in a game like this. Stat line, though, I could see Levis throwing, you know, over 250, maybe even more, three touchdowns, maybe around 300, three touchdowns before he leaves. So that would probably be my pick.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and get into our picks of the week. So we both think Kentucky wins that one. So we're just going to go through the top 25 here. Derek, some of these lines that are big, like 20, we won't touch on. So let's go Cincinnati. Number 8, Cincinnati at Indiana. Cincinnati is a 3.5-point favorite. I actually think that Indiana wins this game.
Yeah, this is an interesting one because wasn't Indiana like top – they were definitely top 25. I think they were pretty highly ranked, right, coming into this season.
They opened with Iowa.
Yeah, did not play well. Of course, I have Iowa on my fantasy team, so I was happy. I think they had 2 pick-sixes that game, 2 defensive touchdowns. I'm with you. Indiana wins.
Yeah. And then the second game here, number 15, Virginia Tech at West Virginia on a slate that's not very good for Saturday. These are some of the better football games, honestly.
Yeah, a lot of the kickoffs are better.
West Virginia is a 2.5-point favorite. I think that Neil Brown and West Virginia get it done.
Yeah, this is one of those interesting ones early in the year. You're talking about West Virginia unranked, yet a favorite over the number 15 team in the country. I'm going to take West Virginia too. I thought Virginia Tech's quarterback, and I only watched one game, but it was against North Carolina, and it was the first game. Guys can get better, but I thought he was pretty subpar, and I thought in a lot of ways North Carolina really let that game get away from him. So I'm with you. I go West Virginia. Hey, did you want to mention this? I know the line's not close, but it is a UK storyline somewhat. Terry Wilson making his return to Texas A&M.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. You might have wanted to get to that in the SEC. My bad.
We can go and get to it now. Let's go and throw it in there. You have it pulled up in front of you.
Yeah, I do. I mean, A&M's a heavy favorite, 29.5. But Terry Wilson's off to a good year, 48-65, 560 in terms of yards passed for, and then 6 touchdowns. One of his worst games, though, as a Wildcat was against Texas A&M back in 2018. He threw, completed 13 passes for 108 yards, but 54 of those yards was basically a handoff to Lynn Bowden that counted as a forward pass. So that was a tough game for Terry. More so than I don't think either of us expect New Mexico to go in there and beat A&M, but what kind of performance do you think Terry can kind of give the Lobos going into that game?
You know, it seems like that they've made an effort to throw the football. So I'm going to say 170 to 225. If he could get Terry
compared to where he was.
Yeah. If he could get to those stats, I mean, I'm pulling for him. He was the Manning Award quarterback of the week. You know, Levis had it for week one, Terry got it for week
two. That's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool, honestly. But I mean, obviously I will pick Texas A&M to win that game, but we also know that they haven't looked very good.
Yeah, and they're starting quarterbacks out for a while. So, yeah, they barely won last week. That backup QB didn't look great. But it's always tough getting thrown in the middle of a game. So, he's had a week to prepare as a starter now. We'll see what he does. But would you pick A&M to cover that, though? 30 points?
I don't.
Yeah.
Nope. I don't think they cover it. I actually think the game stays within 20. I think somewhere around 17 is what I go with.
Some good games here.
Michigan State, Miami.
Yeah, I'll take Miami there.
Yeah, Miami is 6-point favorite. I'll go Miami. Purdue, Notre Dame. Notre Dame always seems to play some of these games close. I'll still go Notre Dame in this one.
Yeah, me too.
And then the big SEC matchup within the conference is number one Alabama, number 11 Florida. Alabama, 14.5-point favorite. How do you think that this shakes up? Kentucky fans probably should keep their eye on this one, right? This is going to tell us a lot about Florida.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like getting Alabama at 14.5 could be a bargain. I mean, it doesn't seem – I mean, I don't know how many other conference games they play that they're only picked to be 2-touchdown favorites. So, I'm definitely going to pick Alabama to win, but I'm mostly curious to see this Anthony Richardson-Emory Jones debate, because I think if Richardson does some good things this game, he's probably going to be the starter going into Tennessee next week. And then that would probably, if you're UK, you're going to have some more film on him. So this might not be a deal where you have to worry about, well, I'll say this. If it becomes a backup quarterback situation when they come to Lexington, you will at least have film on both these guys.
Yep. And
but yeah, I'm definitely taking Alabama to win that game.
Yeah, I'm taking Alabama. We got three more games here that I see. Let's go. Number 19, Arizona State. Number 23, BYU. Arizona State's a 3.5-point favorite. I'm going to go the upset. I'm going to go BYU.
Oh, yeah. Me too. I think we're all picking the same teams.
Yes. Well, most of the dogs are at home in some of the close games.
Yeah.
Then Virginia at number 21, North Carolina. North Carolina's an 8-point favorite.
Take UNC.
I'm taking UNC as well. I don't think we've gone different on many games. Maybe we'll go different on this one. This is the final one, unless you see something else in the SEC there. Do you see anything you want in the SEC other than kind of the Saturday night primetime game here? Any sneaky games? I'm not on the SEC slate.
What is – oh, you're talking about Auburn, Penn State.
Yeah.
No, I mean, the only team I wanted to talk about was Tulane. They're bringing back their old logo from the SEC, and they have the SEC champs from back whenever they were in the SEC almost 100 years ago. But I don't think there's any doubt Ole Miss is going to win that game. No, I don't see any other one. Well, Georgia and South Carolina, just because it's UK opponent coming up, South Carolina. And South Carolina actually won down there the last time they went to Georgia. But
31-point underdog.
That's a huge line.
It's hard to believe that game has gone to that, because at one point that game it was in week two every year. And it was one of the best matchups every single season.
South Carolina plays them tough a lot of years. I don't know that I'll pick Georgia to cover that, but the storyline to follow there, I think, if you're a UK fan, is whether Luke Doty, who was supposed to be South Carolina's starting quarterback, whether he plays, because it sounds like he's close to being healthy. And I've seen different lines of thoughts. There's some people that think there's no reason to throw him out there against Georgia because of how good Georgia's defense is. And if he's not 100% healthy, then don't risk it. But do you really want to be in a spot for a critical, which that they're going to view as a very critical Saturday night matchup against UK? Would you rather have not had any snaps before that game? It's a bit of a tricky situation, but that's what I would watch for that game. If you're going to, and it's at 7 p.m. So yeah, there are some other games that are going to be going on, but if you're someone who's consumed with Kentucky, I would think that will definitely be a game of interest to watch, but yep, definitely taking Georgia to win.
And the big game of the week, it's a really good matchup on Saturday night, 7:30. On ABC, number 22, Auburn, at number 10, Penn State. Penn State is a 5-point favorite. I'm not a fan of Auburn. I think you can do that in the SEC preseason predictions. I've not seen anything from Auburn right now that tells me any different or tells me that they should be the number 22 team in the country. I think Penn State wins this game by 10+.
I'm not a big fan of Penn State's offense. I don't think it's very good. I personally don't think Sean Clifford is any better than Will Levis. I think they might have made a mistake there. But I'm not really a believer in Auburn's offense, although I do think they have a pretty strong defense. So I would take the under in this game, 53. I think it's going to stay under that. I think it'll be an old-fashioned knockdown, drag-out a lot of runs. That home field advantage, it's a wide out. I will take Penn State as well. Just not by as many points as you, though.
So, do you think they cover the 5?
No. I think it'll be a field goal game.
Mm.
3 points.
We really need a sponsor for our picks of the week, don't we? Like, either we'll win you some money, or we'll get you somewhere, or we'll get you somewhere in between, right?
Man, I don't know if people need to listen to me on Hey, there is a academic battle Saturday night, Stanford at Vanderbilt. You think both teams 1-1? Stanford just got USC's coach fired after a big win. You think Vanderbilt's had any hope in that game?
What's the line on that?
12 points for Stanford.
And where's that game at?
It's at Vanderbilt.
That's a home field advantage for Stanford. I'll go Stanford.
There's probably quite a few Stanford grads living in Nashville. I mean, Nashville's growing a lot, so they might have a little bit of a base there.
All those California area people out there moving into Nashville.
Yeah, be out there. Yeah, I think I know Vanderbilt just beat Colorado State, and Stanford didn't look too good at all. Their first, I think they lost to Kansas State, right? And then they beat Fun fact on Stanford, though, my understanding, I'm going to look at it real quick. I don't think they play – yeah, they don't play a single non-Power 5 opponent this season. So, that's all I'll go with, Stanford.
Well, that wraps up all of our picks of the week. Hopefully, you all are picking along with us. I've not even looked at how our record stands. I might go through and do that today so we can kind of know exactly how great we've been, Derek. I'm sure we've been doing just fine. I know
– I don't know.
We've had a couple of good picks. We obviously both picked Arkansas to win last week, I think, right? And or did I pick Texas? I can't remember.
No, you took Arkansas. I took Texas.
Well, it's a shame that I didn't even listen to my own picks because I lost money on that one because I actually picked Texas in a parlay. So go figure, right? Then I come on here and pick Arkansas. So I don't even know what the hell I'm talking about. But should be another fun week of college football. We'll be at Kroger Field tomorrow. Kentucky looking for a 3-0 start. I think Will Levis is looking to become, what, the third quarterback since 1992 to start his Kentucky career 3-0.
Join Terry Wilson, right?
Yeah, Terry Wilson. I think there's another one in there too, right? Wouldn't it be – did Mike Hartline win his first three? I believe he did.
Yeah, he did.
So, looking to join some company there with those guys. But we'll make sure that we're right back here on Kentucky Daily to recap everything that happens with Kentucky and UT Chattanooga. As always, this show is powered by Blue Wire Pods. It's also powered by the Butcher's Pub. 3 locations, Palmville, Williamsburg, London, Kentucky. You can visit thebutcherspub.com or check them out on Facebook. He's Derek Terry. I'm Sean Smith. We'll catch you next time on Kentucky Daily.